Finance Committee, Conference Committee, back to order from recess. Previously, we went through the bill and pointed out, let me stop here for a second. First here at the table is Senator Wilken, Senator Elton, Representative Kotula, Representative Kelly, Representative Hocker. All are present. The time is 2 minutes after 5 o'clock on Friday the 13th. We have a specific amendment, two amendments to be made. The first amendment, number one, I'll turn the floor over to Representative Hocker.
Thank you, sir. If I could, before moving the amendment, if I could just kind of bring up to speed where we, how we got to this process, or this part in the process, and be very brief. Both of our bodies have had an extensive opportunity to work and rework, and then rework, the language within the defined contribution proposal that was originally introduced. I think particularly in respecting that body of work, done both in the full bodies as well as then in the limited conference committees. We have a lot of product there, but at this point in the process, I think we're truly making more strategic decisions, not so much an attempt, and I think it was appropriate for us not to make an attempt to try to redo any of that body of work that is accomplished. Certainly those of us on both sides of this issue have to make some strategic decisions on what's the best approach to work with and on the legislative process. In it contains really four sort of large major components, and one is the DC plan itself. There are the board changes, the restructuring. There are the changes to the existing plans, which includes a currently open item on the university that, quite frankly, I think that at this juncture, that's something we very, very readily come to agreement on. And then the other provisions, which include probably the two most contentious issues within the current bill, and that would be the sunset and the offer of plans, choice or believe that, speaking for myself, and there are several issues that are perfectly in agreement on, and the need to make an immediate change in our statute and approach to retirement plans, specifically the board changes. This is clearly something that we've needed as a body, as a legislature, to examine for some time. In fact, I offer my own conclusion is that we've really gotten into the difficulties with our pension plan largely because I think we as a legislature, as an oversight body, haven't monitored, paid a lot of close attention to it. It was just something that it was started back when at a small state, and it was a small plan, and state grew and the plan matured, and I'm not so sure that our management matured with it, and I think we're really making a huge step forward right now. The changes to the existing plans in this bill there. The one open point on the university, again, Representative Kelly has some language to bring forward on that, but I don't see that as anything of a controversial nature. Again, I believe we fully agree on the provisions except for the sunset provision and the plan choice alternative. And then, some of us with a different view of the DC plan in and of itself, but, that is, we're beyond those discussions at this point. The bill before us is a DC plan bill, and we're not going to go back and try to renegotiate to a time literally predating the gaveling in of this legislative session. So with the DC plan as well as the question of the bill plan and the question of the sunset became pretty hard fast, i.e. after a lot of obviously a lot of thought, a lot of soul searching, and a lot of discussion, believe that's the appropriate tactical course here for all of us. I think the appropriate legislative course is to get to the floors of our bodies the work product that has resulted in the DC plan as it exists in the legislation before us. Although the controversial issue of the dual plan, and myself as a accounting type person, which is where I really base my concerns about the overall DC approach, I have even greater problems with a simultaneous dual plan. So I think that's appropriate to take that off the table here at this point, and the amendment that I'll be offering will be asking to essentially remove the dual plan sections. Likewise, the sunset, when we're making a decision here, we need to have a clear decision for the legislature, for each legislature's conscience. What is proprietary, what's proper, doesn't seem right to me to be for the plan and telling people that you're going to come to work for the state of Alaska. This will be your retirement benefits, but by the way, they're going to go away in 2 years. It's just something inconsistent with that language, and again, at this part in the process. What is left, though, that is troubled, or that can give me the comfort that I need to be able to offer to take those issues off the table at this point in the process is, you know, it's a double fork here. This is when I'm actually taking both forks in the road, and that is the impending, so-called the effective date. At what date would employees become involved in the new DC plan? In the current bill, it is July 1st of this year, a very short time horizon. If a person, for those, yeah, those of you that certainly are heartfelt beliefs that this is the appropriate route to take, that horizon itself, I believe, is almost too short to properly implement the plan. Other things that we've all seen coming up, just call it the nits and the technical matters. I think we're all aware of issues even within the DC plan as it's its way through this legislative process. Once the pension lawyers and the IRS get in there to take a look at it to get the plan qualified, I'm sure we'll find nits that ought to and need to be addressed to have a plan that meets federal tax exempt qualifications. To that end, I would be looking to have the effective date of that plan be deferred for 1 year to July 1st, 2006. And at the same time, that's also a window that allows an opportunity for very technical, those of us that do still harbor concerns about this, to presuming that it passes a vote of the floor, ultimately signed into law by the governor, a chance to do, again, further actuarial technical evaluation, really figuring out what we have created with this statute, chance that, those of us said there may be other alternatives that we ought to consider or maybe even incorporate into the DC plan to address the underfunding issues that are behind with the defined benefit plan that we do have. I think that year window is a very reasonable, again, it's a time frame to continue to have or reach a meeting of minds and a matured technical evaluation proposal in front of us, but yet without, taking away the threat of a sunset, it gives certainty that it is important. Whether we agree or disagree with the DC plan, we must provide certainty, whatever its form, to folks that would be coming to work for the state of Alaska, and also other employers that would be affected by these. So with that, I would like to propose, it's conceptual amendment one, sir, if I would. I would move conceptual amendment number one.
And I would object for conversation. We've all have amendment one on the table. Part one is the effective date. In the bill, it's referred to as July 1st of 05. This date moves it to July 1st of 2006. And as stated earlier, it would allow further technical review of the defined benefit contribution plan. All other provisions within the bill will be implemented on July 1st of 2005. The part two would delete the sunset or item number 37 on our cut sheet in the entirety. And it would also part three then would delete the retirement choice, which is item number 38 on the cut sheet. item part four just clarifies that.
If I may insert on that one?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Senator Stepien. What this clarifies is the, if vested employees under the current plan transferred into the defined contribution plan, this is one of those factors that we've identified to be certain that we did not mix post-tax employee contributions between plans, which resulted in a disqualification of one plan or of those contributions. So, again, this is, I think, the first of a number of technical issues that we'll be seeing addressed in the next year, sir.
So we, thank you, Representative Hawker. So we have a conceptual amendment on the table. Senator Elton.
Just to, before we move on to the complete conceptual amendment, Mr. Chair, on part four, I'm not sure I understand. Is part four designed for those people who may be in the system now, are non-vested, but who may opt to leave Tier 3 and go to the defined contribution?
That would be correct, sir. Through the chair, that would be correct.
Do you have further comments on the amendment?
I object, Mr. Chair, for the purpose of an amendment to the amendment. I would move in part one that we change the date to July 1st, 2007, if I can speak to it for just a moment.
Go ahead.
I think Representative Hawker discussed this issue about the problems that you have in moving quickly to a new plan, especially as we adopt conceptual amendments to an existing bill. And I think that July 1st, 2006 is very aggressive. I just note, to put it in context, that this kind of a plan was suggested by the governor of California. I think he recognized the difficulty of implementing over a short period of time, and his recommendation was that you have a defined contribution plan in California that began in 2007. It gives 2 years to accomplish some of the things that need to be accomplished at the state level before people can even implement a drastic change to the pension paradigm. I would also point out that there are things that need to be done whether or not this bill passes. And one of them is we need to solicit for lack of a better term, a new Mercer contract, whether it goes to Mercer or not. We need to solicit for a new Deloitte contract, whether Deloitte gets the contract or not. Those contracts run out this year, June 30th. And those are integral to the management of any retirement system. We won't even have until maybe October, the newly constituted board that is going to have to make decisions on what an RFP for those contracts looks like. So I offer the amendment to the conceptual amendment for July 1st, 2007, but I would even suggest that that is maybe too aggressive a time frame.
Okay. All right. Further discussion on the amendment to the amendment?
Well, I'd like to support the amendment to the amendment. Just after coming up to speed during this session and working hard to understand it, I can see, you know, the tax issues, the qualifications, just those real weighty kind of issues about any kind of a deferred compensation plan, I think need to be resolved long before we put the state into it. So it's going to be a push even with 2 years. Thank you.
Representative Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, just a concern about an extension that far. I'm somewhat concerned, but feel it's a good compromise, the 1 year. But to go 2 years, we will replace very close to a quarter of the workforce, and that would place them under the current defined benefit plan, which, and each one of those people we can begin a relationship that's potentially as much as 30 years active and another 30 years retired. And for each of those new employees that we would stand up under the two-year, in the two-year timeframe, we have an unfunded liability challenge. So I can accept the compromise that the 1 year would give us to get this new plan completely fleshed out. But I think the amendment, I would speak against the amendment to the amendment.
Thank you. Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it should be part of the record that there has been concern that this plan could be implemented in a short period of time. We've had discussions with the department and asked them pointedly, can it be done? Can it be done in the by July 1st of 2006? I would characterize their responses as a challenge, but absolutely it can be done, and they're ready to start work when we let them know they can. So I have confidence in our department that they'll be able to put in place by the July 1, 2006 date.
I still maintain my objection. Comments on your amendment, or do you want to withdraw?
No, I'm not withdrawing the amendment, Mr. Chair. I mean, if you're soliciting a final comment, my final comment will be that the department says it will be a challenge. I have every confidence in the department also, but I would just remind people that there is a lot of work to be done, and there are a lot of slips that can be made. And while I appreciate the comments by Representative Kelly, I mean, I would point out that whatever we do with this amendment and finally the bill, we're not addressing the unfunded liability at all anyway. So I don't withdraw my amendment, and I will let my amendment to the amendment stand.
Well, call a question here. Mm-hmm. Question's been called. Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Curtula?
Yes.
Senator Elton?
Yes.
Representative Hawker?
No.
Senator Wilken?
No.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Senator Stedman?
No.
GPA, four nays.
Amendment to the amendment fails. We're back to the amendment number one. Any further discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chair, thanks. And I appreciate the latitude you're giving us to discuss this. I think the presentation by Representative Hawker, you know, covered the elements quite well. I think we know what this amendment does. I guess where I would disagree with the representative that made the amendment is that he suggested that the bill before us is a defined contribution bill, and it's not. The bill before us is a choice bill. This amendment makes it a defined contribution bill, and that's a dramatic paradigm shift. We, I think, as legislators have tackled the issue of each of the individual elements of this bill and this amendment, and we have parsed every word, and I think I'm comfortable that most people in the legislature, including everybody at this table, understands what is in the bill. But the problem is we haven't gotten to the point where we have had a good discussion in this legislature on what the net effect of this bill is going to be in the real world. We haven't gotten to the point where any of us can be comfortable on what this might do for recruitment and retention. We haven't got a good idea of what this does. Well, I shouldn't say that. I think we do have a good idea about what this does for the unfunded liability. And I would suggest that everything that we've heard is that it doesn't do anything for the unfunded liability. So I think what we've done is we do know what the elements are, but we don't know what the effects can be. And the professional testimony that we've had, I mean, this legislature has done the right thing and has contracted to have somebody from the outside come in and tell us what is going on. That person came back and said to us that, yes, you have a problem, but has suggested that this isn't the solution. And I think that ought to give us pause. And I think that when if in fact we want government to work on the business model, we have to realize that good businesses, successful businesses, look to the out years. They invest not only in their infrastructure in their markets, they also invest in their workforce. And I would characterize this bill, if amended in this way, as not an investment in the workforce, but a disinvestment in the workforce, and I can't tell you what the net effect will be. I do think that when it comes to troopers and nurses and biologists and engineers, what we may be doing is we may be recruiting those that graduated in the bottom half of their class.
Senator Elton, if you could keep to the amendment, please.
I am, Mr. Chair. This amendment gets directly to the pension plans that we offer to potential employees. And I think that when we have taken and we've eroded by inflation the value of a worker's paycheck, and then we do this to pensions, I think it makes it very, very, very difficult to attract and keep the kind of public servants that Alaskans deserve in this state.
Okay, thank you, Senator Elton. Any other comments?
Just briefly, to reiterate a couple of the things that Senator Elton mentions that I'm in total agreement with. It seems like we have an issue with our current plan, but that we're not dealing with it. What we've done is take a stab at something that's going to we're only going to know what happens in the future, and that hurts our future workers. One of the things that really struck me about the legislature's outside consultant and what he said was that defined contribution plans are seen as an unreliable vehicle for ensuring financial security in retirement. And he notes specifically, if we did something like this, you can't have lengthy time off for having children, raising a family, completing an education, or for illness. You have to have the proper ratios with replacement. And there are so many things in terms of a policy call on this that I just feel that this 1 year will not be enough. We're not approaching it the right way, and I can't support it, although I do appreciate the intense amount of work that my friend, the accountant legislator, has done on this bill. And he explains it better than anybody, I think, in terms of what the potential problems are. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Curtula. Any further comments? Some other call question?
Question.
Question's been called. Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Curtula?
No.
Senator Elton?
No.
Representative Hopper?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
Yes.
Representative Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes. Thank you. Amendment number one is accepted. We'll go now to Representative Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, I have amendment two.
And I'll object for discussion.
Chairman, this is a very brief amendment, and it accomplishes the following. On page 41, the university does not currently provide health coverage in its DC plan, and this removes the word health, which would change that plan to include health. On page 43, this section allows the change that will open the defined contribution plan, the ORP, offered at the university to those people that it wasn't offered to before, so it expands the availability of that ORP plan. And on page 44, there's just some technical cleanup language so that we're in compliance with the Internal Revenue Code. And that's pretty much it. That should meet the needs of the university and yet still leave the employee option between the state plan and the special university plan.
And this addresses open item number 30. Now we have an objection. Do we have any further objection to amendment number two?
Just an objection for the purpose of the question, Mr. Chair.
Just a continue.
A question of Representative Kelly, and I just want to restate what you said to make sure that I understand it, Representative Kelly. So the net effect of this, other than the technical cleanup provisions, the net effect of this is that the university can open up for their employees the option of choosing the ORP plan. It doesn't compel them to do it. It doesn't change their existing plan if they opt not to do it. It is a choice that the university employee would be able to make on their own based on their own personal or family imperatives.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. That option is currently open to just a select class of employees. This would open it up further to the remaining employees.
Can I remove my objection? Is there any further objection? Hearing no further objection, amendment number two is accepted. Amendment number two addresses open item number 30. I want to double back here just for a minute. Amendment number one also removed item number 36 on our cut sheet. It basically, the retroactive clause is not needed because of the delayed implementation date. With the delayed implementation date, item 36 just disappears. There was an item also brought forward by Senator Elton yesterday, a question on the board, and that can be referenced in item 22A, and that cleanup language is included to 2 years on the staggered terms, and I thank Senator Elton for pointing that out. I would like to entertain a motion to accept the report. If we can just have a quick address. Motion to accept the report.
Mr. Chair, it's just been pointed out to me, and maybe whoever prepared the graph here might know the answer, but on item 39, the fiscal notes, it's been pointed out that fiscal note number 9 is a zero fiscal note for admin. All the others add several million dollars, and I wonder if there's a conflict in the fiscal notes that we need to address before we make the final order.
Not that I'm aware of.
If
you have the fiscal note?
Fiscal note number 9 is it's dated May 2nd. Oh, this is good news. Fiscal note number 9.
We have been joined by Senator Green's staff. And if you could please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Tracy Carpenter. I'm staff to Senator Lyda Green. Through the chair, Senator Elton, in the House Finance Committee, fiscal note number 9 was offered to basically zero out fiscal note number 8, in which the Senate Finance Committee passed $69.5 million to be deposited on behalf of all the participating PERS employers into their accounts. However, the House Finance Committee felt that it was not an appropriate vehicle to do so, and so they zeroed out the fiscal note, and I believe the intention is that that particular situation of providing the 5% relief for the participating employers will be handled through the operating or capital budget conference committee.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Yes, Representative Hawk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and speaking as an individual member of the House Finance Committee, the testimony we have just heard is my true and correct understanding of the circumstances in that as we sit here today at this point in the process, the operating budget is still an open item as we do the issue for us with the Senate Bill 141. It was our intent at House Finance that the various aspects that were various components that were offered in your previous fiscal note would be taken up. It would be most appropriate to take those up separately as a part of closing the operating budgets.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Tracy.
And we have a motion on the table to accept the report. Yes, Representative Hawk, or Kelly.
Just clarification, Mr. Chairman. We, in doing so, we have addressed all 39 items and have no open items left. Is that our understanding?
Yeah, thank you. Let me clarify for the record. The motion is to accept a committee report, which would include all the negotiated items from the previous committee reports, along with the three open items before us today, which were 37 and 38, which were deleted by Amendment 1. Amendment 1 also had a delayed effective date. And Amendment Number 2, dealing number 30 on our cut sheet, dealing with the University of Alaska, along with a couple of cleanup items, as mentioned earlier, 22A on the staggered terms brought to us, and also item 36, which basically gets deleted because of the retroactive date.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So we would then, in fact, honor all of the committee work, the conference committee work previous to this one, and then this one here finishes it up. Do we have objection to the amendment?
I object.
Okay, we have
not to the amendment, to the motion.
Or excuse me, to the motion. We have objection to the motion. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Petula?
No.
Senator Elton?
No.
Representative Hawker?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
Yes.
Representative Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
4 yeas, 2 nays.
With that, we have concluded acceptance of the report to be forwarded on to our respective bodies. We also have the report documentation behind us for the individual members to sign. If we could please have the signatures done now while everybody's together. And I think the other body then could go forward with their, I guess, schedule of whenever they want to bring it to the floor.
I may, sir. Just a quick follow-up to that point, and I know we've got a lot of folks that have been viewing this that are not intimately involved in the process. What we have concluded at this moment is another step in bringing the bill to the floor for an up or down vote. This, this conference committee has not passed this bill by any means, but it now, without a vote, is taken to both the floor of the House and the floor of the Senate for the up or down votes where we do our best work in this building.
We go to the floors for final approval.
Sir.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.